Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day. He also knows what he has graced you with, what he has created you to do. The Bible says we are his workmanship, created to do good works. The seeds that he is planting right now, he's charging you to cultivate it, to build it, to do something supernatural with it. He wants to work through you today. If you agree with that, say amen. Say hi to somebody and grab a seat. Amen. Amen. Isn't he good today? God is always faithful. I love that he is always faithful. About three or four weeks ago, I gave a testimony of my knees being healed. If you weren't here and you're wondering, or if you were here and you heard, they are healed. Amen. I had been struggling with knee pain for six, seven plus years, and I explained I wasn't proud of this part, but I had just kind of gotten used to this annoying pain that followed me around. And Mr. Tony was up here giving a testimony of his healing in his knees, and God just, bam, healed him. And I shared this testimony with some guys that I work out with this week because we were doing stupid workout stuff, all right? Just ridiculous. I do this thing called F3, and it's a bunch of guys. We get together at Zero Dark 30, and we work out together, and it's usually stupid, all right? And we were doing extra stupid stuff this day, and working out, and I'm like, what is going on? And I just felt the Holy Spirit leading me to give my testimony to these three guys that I was working out with. And I started giving my testimony, and the Holy Spirit started to move in this circle of men. And as I gave my testimony, two out of the three, it was like God just took something and put a light bulb over a period of their life that he moved in their life. And one of them I know is, when it maybe, you know, I don't know everything that's going on in their life, but I do know this, that as God did that and they started to share it, faith was building in that moment. And I just want to remind you today to step out and share your testimony. Because one shared a testimony of healing, the other shared a testimony of healing, and one of them said, so where did you think that came from? Was that like a combination of things? And I said, it's just a miracle by Jesus Christ on my life. And Pastor Mercedes said this today, as well as I was doing it, is for the believer, the one that received is very powerful. And she's absolutely right. You know, we talk about maybe don't burn your bridges, but there are some bridges you got to burn, baby. All right? And when it comes to faith, you have to burn the bridges that lead back to the lies of the enemy. All right? Don't go back to that road. All right? And so I did my first triathlon this week, and I did that other stupid workout. And I feel great. I don't even have sore muscles. I'm like, what's going on? I'll take this, all right? I don't know, this 18-year-old body, I turned 40 this week, and so I am pumped up about what God is doing in my body. I was out running this week and praying over today's service, and I got a very specific word that Charity and I took into our heart. I share it with Mercedes and Colin, and I believe it's for us as well today. And that is this, very simply, it's time to move from the defense and move to the attack. The Bible does not speak of only defending that which he has given you. He has called us to attack, to take land. And so often it's easy to be on the defensive. I'm going to defend my finances. I'm going to defend my house. I'm going to defend my household, my family. I'm going to defend my health, I'm going to defend, and all that's great, okay? But God did not call us to just that. When Jesus came here on this earth, what did he do? When he was about his Father's business, what was he doing? He was advancing the kingdom of God. He wasn't defending the kingdom of God. And what did he do when he called us? He called us to go, right? To go, not, hey, I want you to sit in your little oasis that you have of awesomeness, of everything that I've given you and blessed you and taken care of for you, the grace of which you have, I have called you to take the land. For us today, God is calling us to take the land. I've entitled this today, Go on the Offensive today. Because for all of us in the room, as Christians, it is our duty to advance the kingdom of God. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to begin to inspire you in creative ways of what that looks like. It's going to start in your household, and it's going to go from there. Charity and I, we really feel divinely that God is leading us in our city of, you know, we live in Ralston. So we're going to get a map of Ralston, and we're going to start coloring in where God is leading us to do. Charity has started to, she walks the dog a lot. She's been believing and praying prayer circles all over Ralston. Amen? And if you don't think that the power of God works, we have prayed things out of our neighborhood already. All right, we have done that. All right, but we believe that God is calling us to take the land, all right? And I don't think that that is just for us. That is for this church. It always has been, all right? Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah have always had a vision on this church to take the city, amen? Take the city, and it starts with us. That cannot be a one-person thing. It's a combination of prayer, fasting, and intercession. And when the time is right, the Holy Spirit leading us and being obedient to his word. Amen? Amen. So if you got your seed today, I believe God's going to give you some new weapons today. Amen? Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we'll look at verse 13. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. I'm going to pause for a minute. Shine here. This word here, this Greek word is lampo. It's only used four other kinds of times in the New Testament. And when it is used, the first way it's used is Jesus when he is referring to the first time light was created. Okay? The very first time God spoke into existence light. Think about that moment. Think about how powerful that moment was. Spoke light into existence. The second time is when Jesus was transfigured and his face shone in that heavenly light. The third time that it's used is literally the shining of heaven. All right? When Jesus is born and the angels appear in a bright light, this word is used. Praise the Lord. And the fourth time is when an angel appears to Peter. He's in prison. And an angel appears and it says, the angel shone and it lit up the whole prison. Okay? So, when we read this, it's not just be bright. This is a heavenly light. This is used specifically by Jesus in this moment to explain what he has given us access to. That means if you're going to shine that you possess that. Amen? That heavenly light inside of you, all right? And going out is more powerful than any of us can totally fathom, okay? you could read and ask God to reveal revelation on the power of that light, and you would get revelation after revelation after revelation until you go to heaven, okay? Because of the power of what that means. And what does he say? In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What does that mean? You're going to be doing something supernatural. And they're going to be able to acknowledge that there's something supernatural happening. I want that to get in you today. I want it to get inside of you today. Do you hear that today? See, we hear good works and we're like, oh, okay, so I'm going to go do something good. No, see, God is attached to that good work. Do you hear that today? When God is attached to that good work, something supernatural is taking place, something bigger than even we can perceive, all right? So when somebody sees that, when it's unto those people, there is a revelation of God's power in their life. See, those moments will change everything in the people that you come into contact with. That when you say, hey, can I pray for you? And you're like, you pray for them? This light is coming out if you let it. So you can do good works two ways. Without faith or with faith. And faith without works, yeah, I would say the same is true. According to this verse, that if you do your works without faith, God has something for us today. Amen. We are literally to radiate God's holy light. Let me ask you this. The sun, what's the sun's job to do? It is to push its energy out. The sun can only do what it was created to do. And that energy that it puts off brings light and warmth, right? Well, what does Ephesians 2:10 says? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The sun can only do what it was created to do. All right? When we are a new creation in Jesus Christ, guess what? We can only do one thing, and that is radiate his light. So I would encourage you today to start stepping into that and moving into that and allowing that to happen. Are there any prerequisites? I love that. I love God. Does that sound messy? A little bit. Do you ever wonder, like, but what if, what about, what, wonder if, do you think I should? I think you should have faith and let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. And you might say, well, what if I mess up or do something wrong? Well, you're going to have to get out there and you may mess up some. That's okay, all right? We're not perfect. But if you never get out there because you're afraid of messing up, then you're like the scripture says, you have a lamp, but you've put it under something. So which one do you want to be? I'll let you decide. So what have we been given authority over as Christians? Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And this is this pretty awesome moment. Jesus, if you remember, he sends out his disciples, the 72, two by two, to go preach the word, to heal the sick, and cast out demons. Amen? And so the disciples, the 72, go out, and this crazy thing happens. It works. Wild. I love it. God is faithful. And so they go out, they come back, and this is the moment. The 72 return with joy, saying, Lord, Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he, being Jesus, he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents. Literally, that word there is referring to the serpent in the garden, Satan himself, and scorpions, and over all, somebody say all the power of the enemy, and nothing, somebody say nothing, shall hurt you. There's some black and white stuff right there. It says, over all? There's no gray areas there, folks. Nothing? There's no gray areas there. Over it all. Anything that the enemy thinks up, it has zero chance against the Word of God. Amen. Zero chance against the name of God, the power of God. Matthew 16, 19. Go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This is Jesus speaking. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I will. Why does it say will? Because Jesus is speaking. I'm here on this earth right now doing my ministry. I'm about to do my Father's will. I'm about to go on a cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to go down to hell, and I'm going to rip through that thing. I'm going to make an open spectacle of the enemy. And I'm going to take the keys of death, and I'm going to come back up here. And that authority with which I do that in, it's all yours. And to guarantee that, I'm going to bring a helper, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you when it's time to use that authority here on this earth. All right? Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. See, the power and the authority that we have, it is vital to understand what that is and what that looks like. Amen? It's also important to understand where we get that authority. Is it just kind of a vapor? Where does it come from? It comes from Jesus and the victory that he had on the cross, through hell, rising again, hanging out for 40 days here on earth, teaching and giving more revelation to his disciples, and then ascending so that the Holy Spirit could come down. And on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples had gathered together, praying and pursuing God together in one accord, it says, can you imagine? John and Peter getting along? What? And the Holy Spirit falls on them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are all these things? All these things, you can read it. It's before the verse here. But in a summary, it's all your needs and your desires. See, it's easy to look at, well, what do I need? What are my desires? What are all those things? All those things. And we focus on that. But Jesus is very clear. Focus on the kingdom of God. And all that stuff will be added to you. Praise the Lord. So what should our focus be on? The kingdom of God. That's where our focus should be on. Seek there in the Greek is zeteo. And it means to seek, and get this, to crave, to require, and to demand. So seeking the kingdom of God looks a little bit different than just, where is it? Is it, maybe I see it, right? You ever been hungry before? You ever said something crazy like, I'm starving? Somebody's like, this analogy works great on Sunday mornings. I mean, it really hits home so good. You've been hungry? What do you require for that hunger? Food. That is what this word is talking about. When you talk about the kingdom of God and seeking the kingdom of God, you should seek it, you should crave it, just like that. There should be something inside of you that says, I need this so much, I need to have this so much. In fact, I demand to have it in my life because it is so vital. If I don't have it, I cannot continue the purpose and the plan that God has put on my life. The purpose and the plan that God has ordained for you should be on you so much that you cannot shake it, that it craves inside of you. There's something inside of you. I've got to have it. There's only one way. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, let's look at verse 12. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, meaning from John, all right, when John the Baptist came on the scene, to now, this is Jesus speaking, to the present time there where Jesus was speaking, it says, heaven has suffered violence, meaning that heaven has applied force, okay? And the violent, which are the strong and forceful, amen, take it by force. And that phrase, take it by force, literally means to bind up and carry away. That's crucial, all right? You ever try to catch a mountain lion before? No? Yeah, I didn't think so. You ever be like, I'm going to try to coax a mountain lion off of my property? Would anybody ever think of doing that? I don't think I would. I wouldn't be like, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Why? Because that is a wild animal. It is, I don't know what's going on. That thing's got claws. So what are you going to do with that mountain lion? Well, you're going to bind it up. Some of you are like, I would shoot it. Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. That would bind it up pretty good. But before you get that thing off your property, you're going to have to bind it up. If you plan on carrying that thing off of your property, you better bind it up first. So how do you bind things up? Through prayer, fasting, and intercession, okay? Through prayer and fasting and intercession. You pray into that, and you ask that God would bind that thing. And when it's bound, is it hard to deal with? No. It is not hard. That which was hard is now easy. So, why is that challenging for us? I think one of the main reasons it can be challenging for us is because it demands some dedication. Oh, you mean I have to pray? You said this word fasting. That does not sound fun. Intercession. Can I just have it like right now? See, the power of God is present in our lives. But when we start talking about advancing the kingdom of heaven, when we start talking about attacking, all right? You're going to have to spend time in prayer, in fasting, in intercession. The Bible is very clear about that. We'll get to that. Don't worry. It is vital. It's important. So if we're talking about attacking and taking land and moving and advancing the kingdom of heaven, you better be ready for taking time in prayer, in fasting, in intercession. And if this steps on your toes, that's okay. If you're not ready for that, then you're going to be on the defense the rest of your life. That's how it's going to be. But God has given us the authority, but we have to step out. We have to be willing to say, okay, I'm ready to do whatever it is you're telling me to do. So I'm going to pray into this. I'm going to ask you to reveal things, do things supernaturally. And that kind of flow, when that starts to happen, it is a good place to be. It's a good place to be. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. You can go there, Luke chapter 16, verse 16, it says, the law, this is Jesus speaking, the law and the prophets were until John. Meaning this, that before and up to John the Baptist entering the scene, there was just law and the hope that we get from the prophets of a Messiah. That's all they had, was the law and a hope of a Messiah. Since that time, meaning right now, meaning, hey, I'm Jesus, I'm here, the kingdom of God is preached. And I love this. And every man presseth into it. Every man presseth into it. Everybody presseth it. What does that mean? I believe it means that for us in our life, and everybody that has ever existed or will exist, has an innate desire to know God. To know the one that created them. There is literally a desire there. A desire. Jesus even spoke of it in John chapter 7. Go ahead and turn there, John chapter 7. Because there is a desire to know our Creator, to know God, to know Him. But the enemy, everything that the enemy does is working to chip away at that desire in every human being. And how does he do it? By offering up other desires. Here's something else. And in fact, it's really easy to get. Here you go. Why don't you take this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you go hang out over here? Why don't you do this? And it slowly chips away from the desire. Jesus talks about it. John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out. Get that, cried out. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus stands up. If anyone thirsts, let them drink. What is he saying? He's like, everyone thirsts. Everyone thirsts. Come to me and drink. This scripture, the translation to like give you an idea of the depth of what is going on in this moment, a better translation would probably be Jesus saying, come to me and get a drink. But that's not all. Keep coming to me and keep drinking. And if you do that, out of you, how are living waters going to flow out of you if you don't have a constant coming in? And I love this scripture because it would be better to explain it this way, that when you come to me, if you thirst, when you come to me, it says, come to me and drink, and out of you will flow rivers of living water. Every time you come to God, new revelation happens. What we're used to is the world. And the world, all right, when they offer a desire and we take the first time, what is it? It's the biggest high. So what are you doing after that? You're chasing that same high. I don't care what it is, all right? It's not just drugs. It could be drugs, all right? It could be any kind of addiction. It could be a plethora of different things, all right? You fill in the gap, right? And we have that first one. And what are we seeking? That same experience that we had the first time. But will you ever get it? No, you never will. Why? Because it's a cheap trick produced by the enemy to trap you and make you feel like that's the only thing that will ever give you relief. And Jesus stands up and says, hey, if you thirst, you're going to come to me, and I'm going to quench that. I'm going to give you revelation. But the wild thing is you're going to come back again. And guess what? I'm going to give you more than the first time you had. All right? And then you're going to come back again, and I'm going to give you triple that. All right? And then you're going to come back again, and I'm just going to keep on pouring it on. Because I am not of this world. I do not act of this world. When Jesus came out saying, he changed the rules. He changed the rules. So the question today, we understand the authority that we have, the power that we have. We understand that we are to advance the kingdom of heaven. So if we're going to do that, if we're going to fight and forcefully advance the kingdom of God, where do we start? And we start at the gates, all right? Now, there are gates all over. Those are gates in your households, gates in your city, in our city. There are gates in our nation, in our world, and we have to take those gates, all right? And whatever, I love Matthew 16, 18, Jesus is talking about the church, and he says that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Amen? So whatever we establish here on this earth as the church, what is the church? The people, amen? The people. This means it's not just us here in this room today, amen? Right? We're partnering with churches all around this city right now, all right? All around this nation right now, all around this world right now to advance the kingdom of God. And hell cannot prevail against that. See, the church is the body of Christ. We're directed time and time again in the Bible that we are to be vessels that advance the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 10, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. What does he start off with saying? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does he say? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. That is the kingdom of God in a nutshell. Okay? It is saying, your will be done. How it is on heaven, we want that on earth. So me being the vessel, do it through me. Do it through me. Do it through me. His advancement of the kingdom of God. So we're going to look at some gates today. All right? There's a few that I'm not going to cover today, but we're going to look we'll look at four specifically today, okay? Because when we're talking about advancing the kingdom of God, we've got to look at the gates that we have to start attacking in our world, all right? And again, I'm going to say this again. These are gates that are in our households, so you should start there, okay? Start in your household first. Clean house, take them in your household, then move forward. Amen? Okay? Move forward out of there into our city, into the nation. Amen? First one today, media. It's always a fun one. We'll just start with the fun one, right? We'll start with the one that steps on all of our toes, all right, including me, all right? Media, radio, TV, movies, internet, music, phones, newspapers, etc. These gates, they impact powerfully the way that most people think, all right? These gates largely cultivate or produce people's or shape people's worldviews, okay? Now, when we talk about kids, right now, I would say right now more than ever in the history of the planet, a child's worldview is being shaped by media, okay? If you do not, and I'm not saying guard that gate. I am saying attack the gate. Okay? I am using different terminology. I hope that you get that today. Attack these gates. Okay? Media is a huge thing. And you've got to understand, as Christians, we've got to attack those things. And when we talk about our kids, if you got kids in the home, think about this fact, that the media that surrounds them, the media that they're exposed to, that's literally shaping their worldview. What is a worldview? The worldview is how they think about God, who they think God is, how they think God operates, what they think is true, and what they think is a lie. When we talk about a worldview, that's what we're talking about. And if you don't attack that gate, their worldview will be shaped by what it is that's coming in. So comes the next fun point. If you've got kids, and then the rest of us, it starts with us. So you got to hold yourself to that standard first. You've got to attack it in your own life first. So if you don't have kids, guess what? You still have a responsibility. You've got to attack it in your own life first. When we talk about your household, that's what we're talking about. And so we don't like that a lot because it's uncomfortable. That means that I might have to stop watching something I'm watching. Yes, it does. All right? I'm not going to tiptoe around this or anything. Yes, it absolutely does. You have to change what you're listening to. Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it means. If you want to attack and if you want to advance the kingdom of God, that's exactly what it means. Is it going to be uncomfortable? Yeah, but what's easy now is going to be hard later. What's hard now is going to be easy later. Okay? When we talk about this kind of stuff, it's not because I like to be a jerk and make things hard on you for your life. I actually want to make things easier for you long term, all right? And we understand that if we put in the work now to change things now, our life will be much better long term. So we have to learn to embrace this fact. Is it really that important? For you in your life, the media that you hold on to, that you're not willing to let go, is it more important than the future? Whether you've got kids in the home or not, all right? The future generations to come, your legacy, what you produce in your life, is it really worth it to hold on to it that much? What do you want to produce in your life? Media is a huge gate that we have to attack. In our culture today, we've got to attack it. So you've got to start asking, okay, God, what do we got to change? And if you're wondering, like, is there good media? Yeah, there's good media out there, all right? I mean, somebody's watching on Facebook Live right now this church, this message, right? There's good stuff out there. Well, how do I decipher? Probably one of the best things to do to start is find somebody that has the kind of fruit in their life that you want and go ask them what they're doing, what kind of media they're allowing and what kind of media they say no to. And then you go to the Holy Spirit and you get confirmation to the Holy Spirit, okay? And I've said this before, but what others may do, I may not, okay? And what do I mean by that, all right? At the end of the day, when the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, I cannot compromise that because so-and-so, who I really respect, does it. Well, the Holy Spirit told me that I can't do this, but so-and-so, who I really respect, they do it, so it's probably okay. Wrong. That's not how it works. It may not even mean that what they're doing is necessarily wrong. Okay? But if God is telling you to do it, do it. And when it comes to media, is it really going to hurt you to take something out? No. I'm just being, you know what I mean? So when we talk about that. So the first gate that we talked about, media. Second thing, our education system. This is a huge gate right now. Whether you've got kids or not, our education system, all right, our school system and our universities, we have to attack that gate. Because our children and our young people are being indoctrinated by whatever people choose. And when you look at our school system, it's totally secular, okay? I don't think anybody would be like, I don't know, all right? Now, when I'm talking about our school system, I'm talking about the policies that they're trying to push, okay? All right? So when I talk about that kind of stuff, those are the kinds of things that we have the power to change through prayer, intercession, and our vote, okay? Everybody got that? Because the policies that are pushed by secular people. Generally speaking, that's why they're pushed. Humanistic ideas, all right? They're atheistic and polytheistic. What is that? Well, there is no God or there's a bunch of gods. Well, both are wrong. There's only one true God. His name is Jesus, all right? We have to take back our schools and our universities, all right? We have to pray over our teachers, all right? Especially ones like Courtney and Mitchell that are God-fearing, that are amazing people. Yeah, you can clap all day for them. Because Courtney and Mitchell, I thank God on a regular basis that they are in Bryan High School. Because that school is changing, all right, which is a moving, I'm using that as, it's moving, it's changing because of their presence in that school. I mean, I talk to them, they tell me, I'm like, that's amazing. God is moving through them, all right? And guess what? If Bryan High School had teachers like Courtney and Mitchell across the board, it doesn't matter what policies. It wouldn't matter what policies or whatever they wanted to teach, it would change the whole trajectory of that school. So let's get creative in what God wants to do, all right? God does not work on just one dimension, all right? And one, just one idea. He can change things unilaterally. Amen? Okay? So when we talk about our education system, it's the kind of things that we are allowing in our school system, the things that we are either A, not fighting or attacking, or things that we need to pay attention to, all right? So when we talk about voting, all of us need to pay attention to that kind of stuff, all right? When we talk about the policies that are being made, we need to be aware. Not just if you have kids, okay? Not just if you have kids. If you have kids, yeah. If you don't have kids, yeah. We're planning on homeschooling our daughter. That doesn't mean that I just be like, oh, well, it doesn't concern me. That is not love. That is not loving your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Toes okay? All right, good. Third thing today, various religious systems, all right? Ancient pagan religions. Greek mythology and astrology are a huge, trendy thing. And they come and go, right? All these kinds of things that come and go in our society. All right, Hinduism, Buddhism, other Eastern religions, Mormonism, Islam, humanism, witchcraft, Satanism. I mean, these are all things that are present right now in our city. Do they belong here? No. And if you're like, well, I don't know if that one, it is. I listed all ones that I know factually are in our city right now, but they can all be gone in the name of Jesus. They can all be pushed out of our city by the power of God. And it's important, again, when I say some of this stuff, especially when I talk about like Greek mythology and astrology, that's something that people kind of mess with and they're like, it's not that big of a deal, or it's not that big. It's a huge deal. It's totally pagan. It's totally against the Bible. Because it's claiming that something else other than God can control the person that you are. And the person that you're going to become and the choices that you're going to make. Wrong. There's only two that can do that. That is God or that is Satan when you allow him to influence your life. There is only one true God. And there is one real enemy. Okay? So let's just call it what it is. And let's start not being afraid of doing that. That's huge. It's huge. Various religious systems. I think a great way when you're praying into that, pray that truth would be found out. The enemy will always repackage things to make it seem like it's okay. Like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. So we can pray into that, that God would bring light and truth into that. And then that he would use you as a vessel to be that light. I'm pretty sure all of us can think of some situations where we could be a light in that when we talk about that. Okay, the fourth thing, the last thing today, and we're going to kind of wrap it up here, is political, governmental law, making, and judicial systems. All right? I mean, if you truly read the history books, right, not all the lies that people want you to believe, but our country was founded on men and women, for the most part, that feared God. Okay? I did not say they were perfect. In fact, I know they weren't perfect. And they messed up. Are you perfect? Did you mess up? Yeah. But they did understand this when they founded our country, that it was vital to build it upon godly biblical principles if it was going to succeed. And so when we talk about what we were founded on, I would encourage you, if you're like, well, I read this or heard this, did you actually read the actual document? Did you actually find out? Did you actually do your due diligence? Because I've said that before too. And then I do my due diligence and I'm like, oh, shoot. Well, see, most people are taught, like in America, for instance, they believe the First Amendment means separation of church and state. I'll read it to you, okay? This is what it actually says. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There is no separation of church and state in there. In fact, it gives us the right to be able to bring that into our government if the people see fit. So what does that mean? That means it lies with us. And that's a hard pill to swallow, because that means that we are responsible. It means if you don't like what's going on in the USA right now, you're responsible. Well, I don't know if my vote really counts, or if it's even being counted, or if it's in. Well, then maybe we should start praying into that. Yeah. Amen? You can put those stats up, Nick. Get this. From 1790 to 1850, our presidents called for prayer and fasting over 1,400 times. Why did they do that? Because they understood there was one true God on the throne. Praise the Lord. So much. He's like, that bottle's getting thin. Thank you so much. That's incredible to me. Praise the Lord. When we talk about our vote not mattering in 2020, all right, and in the swing states, Biden won by just 300,000 votes. There were over 5 million registered Christian voters that didn't vote. Do you think that that would change the trajectory of our nation right now? You might be like, Brandon, you can't say that. I sure can. I have the microphone. We have to understand that this is a fight. It's good versus evil. It is God on the throne, and us as vessels that he wants to use to advance his kingdom. We can be that. If you think the world isn't watching, it is. Global Day of Prayer last week, over 100 million people signed online, live, to pray for America. There was probably a lot more that didn't sign on or didn't know how to, that were praying for the Global Day of Prayer. America is a gate for the world. It just is, all right? We have influence over the whole world, policies, all right, democracy, things that America does. The world is watching. It is a responsibility. And for all of us, when we hear that kind of stuff, it can be overwhelming sometimes because, like, it's so big. It's just a lot. Like, how can I have just... History has always been made by just a few people deciding to make a change and saying something and doing something about it. Look at the history books, all right? Look at the Bible. I mean, this big old beefy guy, Goliath, keeps coming out to the camp, and the whole nation of all the fighting men of Israel are encamped, and he keeps coming out day after day, and what do they say? No, I'm good. I don't wanna. And one punk kid comes in. One punk kid. Because David had to, he was a punk, all right? Kid comes in, and what does he do? He changes everything. You know, when we say things like, you know, we all have giants, we all have Goliaths, you know, it sounds really pretty when you sing it in a song. But when you think about it that way, it changes everything. All right? What side do you want to be on when history is written? What kind of story do you want to be written about you? And we don't do it for the accolades. That's not obviously what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, it's being written right now. So what are you going to choose to do? The title of today's message was Go on the Offensive. Go on the offensive against the gates in your household, and then next into our nation, or into our city, and then next into our nation. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to allow the Holy Spirit in? What are you going to do to make sure that that happens in your life? So when we talk about the fourth gate, what we're going to do as a church is we're calling it fast. I don't need that. That's okay. We're going to call a fast starting next week, October 5th, all right, for 32 days to November 5th to go at the gate. When we talk about, obviously, there's a general election November 5th, all right, and we're going to go to war for our city and for our nation. And yes, I said war. And that is exactly what it is. And so the ushers are going to start passing out. We have two different documents for you all. And specifically on this first one, that what you're going to see is a bunch of different seats, if you will be elected seats that will be voted in. And we're going to pray over all of those elected seats, all right? We're going to pray over those spots, all right? And so I kind of broke it up. There's federal law, policymaking, state legislation, state law. It kind of explains how Nebraska works. It's important to understand because Nebraska's pretty interesting, okay? It's different than most. There's education. There's three different branches, if you did not know, that decide the policies and what we do and what we're teaching and what kind of things we're trying to indoctrinate our kids with. If you thought there was just one, there's three. Probably don't need three. Okay, that's all I'll say. And then there's county and city legal and judges and influence. And you flip it around, and it's specifically on abortion, okay? So there is two initiatives being that will be on the ballot, one that is against abortion and one that is for abortion, all right? We explain it here, what it is called. So you can start praying, abortion is murder, okay? It is not of God, plain and simple, okay? And if you disagree with me, I would love to have a conversation, and I will not be a jerk about it. I would love to have a conversation. The church needs to do a better job at loving and having open arms so that one tragedy is not justified with another tragedy. And we have to be vigilant as a church and as Christians to change the narrative that is current in our day and age. Yes. But we also cannot ignore what is right and wrong as Christians, okay? So you'll notice there's no names on these. Why? Because we're praying over these seats, these policies, that God's will would be done. All right? That God-fearing men and women, people that God is ready to use, vessels that will be used correctly, will be voted in and will begin to change the course of our city, our state, and our nation. Amen? For the 32 days of prayer and fasting, we have a prayer sheet each day, something that you can specifically that we'll be praying over. So starting October 5th, next Sunday, each day, something that you can pray over. And then you can flip it around. And this is a declaration that you will take with you into the voting booth. Okay? I totally stole this from Kenneth Copeland. Unapologetically. But you're going to take that in. I will never walk away from a voting booth again with a regretful and a fearful feeling. And I did last time. I'm never going to do that again. And I don't want you to either. Because I am going to vote according to what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. And if God tells me, I do not have to be afraid. I do not have to be regretful. I don't have to worry about the outcome because God is in control. If you do your due diligence, if you pray and intercede, I believe God will lead all of us. And we're not the only church doing stuff like this, okay? We are not the only people doing stuff like this. I believe God is going to change the trajectory of our nation. Amen? Okay? And so the fast starts next Sunday, October 5th. It goes to November 5th. And what is fasting? It's taking something that you focus a lot of time or energy on, and you take it out, and it should be felt. Okay? It should be felt. And now you are turning that focus, that time, on something specific that God is leading you to do. So we as a church are calling a fast specific to this, but God may call you to fast some for some other things as well in your life. I believe that He is already right now in this place. He is in my life. And so there's a lot of different fasts. I'm going to take just a few minutes to talk about that, all right? One that we know of is Daniel fast. If you've never heard that, you can read in Daniel what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, all right? It's vegetables and fruit. That was like the most summarized version ever, all right? But, you know, you can read it on your own. You can talk to us. We'll help you out. There's a Daniel fast, veggies and fruit, no sugar, all right? You could do no caffeine. Hello, all right? You could delete all of the apps off your phone except for your Bible app. Aye. You could say, I'm not going to look on social media. I'm going to unplug my TV. I'm going to disconnect my interwebs. I'm not going to drive my car. I'm just kidding. You can drive your car. I mean, maybe, but what's my point? A lot of what I said stings a little. It should, all right? if you take it seriously, God will move seriously. Okay? Plain and simple, when we talk about prayer and fasting. And it should be something that is there, you're understood, that is bringing you to mind of why it is you're doing it. So a lot of people fast different kinds of food or food in general or maybe some meals, okay? Some will do just a water and juice fast, okay? But the reason you do those things is because every time you feel that hunger, you pray. Every time you feel that, you remind your body that it is not in control, but that the Holy Spirit is in control. And if the Holy Spirit can help you bring this under control, he can bring anything under control. The power of prayer and fasting is immense in our life, okay? And so as a church, this is what we're doing. But again, God may call you to do different things. And so you guess what? You have a whole week to figure it out. It's crazy how we plan that. It's like, whoa. So I want you to pray and pursue God for this. It's not something that you're just like, well, that sounds good, I'll just do that. Don't do that, okay? Really pursue God and see what he has for you during this time. It's going to be a month of hourly breakthroughs. I believe that. Hourly breakthroughs that are going to absolutely enlarge our tents. Amen? Amen? Now, if you're in this room, you don't know Jesus today, this is a great time to give your life to Jesus. Amen? You're like, wow, you guys are crazy. That's right, baby. We love God. And we want to know him more. And more importantly, God loves us. And we know that. And that's why we're willing to do this kind of stuff, because we know how much God loves us and how much he loves people that don't know him. And we get to be a part of that. And if you're in this room today and you're like, man, I want to know that kind of God. I've been told God was like mad at me my whole life, that he was like up in heaven with like a lightning bolt trying to like, that is not God. God loves you dearly. He wants to have a relationship with you today. If you want that God, just lift up your hand and say, that's me today. Anybody in the room today? Anybody at all? I'm going to assume all of us are Christians in this place then. The next thing is the gift of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was gifted and given to this world, it changed everything. I used to call it the secret sauce. That is such a disrespect to the Holy Spirit. He is so much more. The Holy Spirit leads us, guides us. If we allow it, is intertwined in everything that we do for the kingdom of God. We are simply his arms and his feet, his mouthpiece. And the Holy Spirit is the one that directs us, gives us the power to be able to do those things. It puts words into your mouth when you cannot form them. It empowers you to step and be brave when you feel like you cannot. The Holy Spirit, as a believer, is vital. And so if you want to receive the Holy Spirit and you haven't received the Holy Spirit, come on down front, and we're going to pray for you, and you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. If you want to talk about that and know more about that, you come down front, and we're going to pray for you. We'll talk with you. So if that's you, you come on down front. Don't be afraid. We will not bite. All right. I'm going to assume that all of us are filled with the Holy Spirit then. And if you're not, you can still come talk to us. Your chance to not leave. If that is true, and that power is in this room, what do you think we could accomplish for the next 2 minutes if we join together? So we're going to take 2 minutes right now. We're going to lift. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have a prayer language. We're going to utilize that today. And we're going to pray over what God's going to do during this 32 days of prayer and fasting. Why don't you stand for just a moment? Let's just welcome the Holy Spirit in. I'm going to put the mic down for a minute, and we're just going to pray, and we're going to release, and we're going to stir up the gifts right now, all right? So let's just begin to pray right now. Let's take 2 minutes. Let's pray. Raise your voices. Let's pray right now into what God's going to do. Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com, and we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.